That's very nice. Thank you, worship team. That was just beautiful. You have no idea how much I wish I could play a piano like that. Like, oh, to make that sound come out of a piano or something other than chopsticks or that. Everybody knows that one that your kids do? Yeah, okay. Well, like David just said, my name is Dale, and I'd like to say thank you, Mike, for inviting me to come and share my testimony today. And I know I've got about 15 minutes, and so that's not long to shove in about 15 years. And although I am somewhat daunted about coming and sharing my testimony today, because last time I was here, the person sharing their testimony was a man whose daughter had been raised from the dead. And then now, next week, you've got some cool lady who had a conversion experience in prison, and okay, I'm sandwiched between two awesome testimonies, but never mind. Mine's an encouragement for those of you who, whose conversion experience perhaps may not make the front page of the West Australian, but is still a testimony to God's goodness, faithfulness, and his resurrection power at the end of the day. I don't have a raised from the dead story in that sense, but in another sense, I do. And so, like was said, Adam, who's here, we are the senior pastors of Red Door Community Church, which is a church that's probably about 9 months old now, birthed out of a Riverview church, a campus, Coburn Central, that was part of Riverview Church about 9 months ago. And so, so 9 months ago, we found ourselves the senior pastors of a church, and that is still very much a title that I am getting comfortable with, and I think that's because, and this is kind of how our journey has gone, it was never in our mindset, it was never part of our plan to become senior pastors. It's been very much the journey that God has led us on. It's not been one that's been terribly linear, not one that's been terribly predictable or planned out. It's just been one that as we have walked, God has led us to this place, and it's a pretty awesome place, I've got to say. So if we go back to perhaps where this particular trajectory started, it was probably about 15 years ago, and that was about 15 and a half years ago when I got saved, and it was quite a dramatic conversion experience. I wasn't saved in a prison, I was saved in a church in a fairly traditional kind of manner, but at that point it was Jesus changed absolutely everything. And at that time, Adam and I were seeing each other. We were in a horribly dysfunctional relationship. We'd met a few years earlier at a nightclub over here in Northbridge. Adam wasn't saved then either. It was not a particularly pleasant story for the grandkids. But nevertheless, that's how we met. And we proceeded to begin this very dysfunctional relationship. As you can imagine, when one person is commitment phobic and the other one is codependent, doesn't create the most harmonious environment for a functional relationship. So we were on again and off again. Wasn't a particularly happy time. But then Jesus came along, and it started with Adam. Adam went along to a Promise Keepers meeting. I was really looking for some kind of answer. My life was a massive black hole, and it had been for at least 10 years. So all of my teenage years were incredibly dark. If I had to pick a colour to kind of describe my teenage years, it would be grey, very, very dark grey. There was just this. When people talk about that hole, that aching void that only Jesus can fill, I'm very, very well acquainted with that place and was for a number of younger years. So I had been searching, and I'd gotten involved in a bunch of New Age stuff and pretty much trying anything to try and get some answers, to try and bring some light. And the New Age stuff I got involved with, it did bring a certain amount of light. It did bring some answers. But then he got saved, and I was very anti-church. I'd been brought up in a Uniting church, and you know, my mum was very, very faithful. But it was, I'd only ever known old people in a church with an organ, and any kid that was there didn't really want to be there. They were dragged there. And so I was quite anti, and I had all these opinions, and I would tell him why it was ridiculous to be a Christian and why the Bible was wrong. How could a book written thousands of years ago have, you know, relate to people in our modern times? And I was full of it. I really was. You're happy to know I've since quite changed my opinion on that one, on the Word of God. And so Adam got saved. We started this conversation. He took me to church, and after a few, and it was a church like I had not seen. There was instruments on stage, like other than an organ. There were drums, and there were young people there who hadn't been dragged there by their parents, and it wasn't Christmas or Easter, and they were still in church. So it was quite a revelation for me. And after going there a few Sunday nights, it was Shiloh Church at the time, which is now CCC Hepburn Heights, pastor gave an altar call and I responded. And it's funny, I actually pulled out my diary last night, my journal from back then, and I will read you my journal entry the day after I got saved, which was the 31st of August 1997. Last night I was saved. I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. It happened at Shiloh Church and was definitely something that took me by surprise. It was the end of the service and the minister asked us to close our eyes in prayer. He then asked for anyone who wanted to accept Jesus Christ into their lives to raise their hand. I did want to accept Jesus as my saviour, so I put up my hand. He then finished the prayer and asked for those who had raised their hands to go forward. Before continuing, I want to say that when I raised my hand, I felt this warm sensation flow through me. This was the real test, to confirm my willingness to accept the Lord Jesus in front of all these people. Even though I was fearful, something gave me the strength to move forward. The minister then said a prayer and I was saved. Amen. And it's just really interesting to note, because I had not read this in years and years and years and years. It's a miracle I could even find it. But I wrote down the day after I got saved, my goal, to become a speaker for God, which is just really, really interesting. Just in that, so much happened in that moment. I became aware of the power of revelation. And that, to me, that had come through somebody speaking the word of God, somebody speaking the gospel, and I knew that that was what I wanted to do. Well, it took an awful long time for that path to outwork itself, but just faithfully, and God's path tends not to be too linear. There's too much stuff he has to outwork in us for us just to go from A to B in a straight, direct path. And so from that point on, I needed a church to go to. Riverview was the only other one I knew of through Wayne Simpson, who worked with Adam, and he was the youth pastor over there at the time. So I started going along to Riverview. I heard about this thing called small groups, connect groups. And so I looked them up in the little directory we had then at Riverview and went, oh, okay, this is the closest one to me with people my age. And I ended up in a connect group with Beck and Paul Morrison. And they have been our bosom buddies pretty much ever since then, and we are still in a connect group together some 15 years later. And that's just another testimony to God's goodness, because if he hadn't have put those people around, the people that he brought across our paths have just made all the difference, really they have. And so a year later I came on staff at Riverview Church. I was an accountant working for a software company just up the terrace here. Adam was also an accountant just working across the road here at Central Park. And I left the software company, came on board at Riverview, and then began what was 14 years on staff at Riverview. And that was quite the journey as well with Barbara. Barbara's been on that journey with me the entire time. She was there before I was. And so just experienced so much there at Riverview, so much. And over the last 5 years in particular, last 5 years is something of a crucible, as you would know, with all the stuff that happened with Philip Baker and what we went through there. That was, really, really tough season. And so maybe about 6 years ago now, Phil called us in, said to Adam and I want you to be the campus pastors of the Coburn campus. At that stage, it had been going about a year. And Adam said to Phil, are you asking us or are you telling us? Because at that point, he was in the media area. I was in accounts. I like numbers. Numbers work, okay? You can make them add up. They reconcile at the end of the day. They balance. People never balance. Why would I leave this safe, predictable little world and go and pastor people? And so, yeah, Adam asked that question to Phil and he said, no, I'm telling you. And so we began this journey into pastoring a church. And what an absolute gift that has been. Prior to being a campus pastor, we had been, you know, we loved our church. We loved the bigness of our church, if you've ever been to Riverview. We loved all the bright lights and all of that, and we thought big church was it. And then we went down and we led a campus of, grew to about 400 people, which for us was quite a nice small community. And after a few years, we really began to realise we actually really like this proximity. We are all for this smaller kind of community. And so much happened over that time, when Hayden stepping in, when it became very clear that Phil wasn't going to come back, and Hayden making decisions about what to do, and And so to cut a very long story short, we were pulled out as campus pastors, pulled back into Riverview, and actually, Mr. Yates, you're here, aren't you? We had quite a poignant conversation with Mr. Yates over there during that process, which if any of you have had a poignant conversation with Mr. Yates, we're actually really grateful for that conversation. And so thank you for that. I don't know if we ever said thank you for that, but we really did appreciate it. At the time, we were going, oh my gosh, it was, yeah, come and ask me afterwards if you want to know what was actually said. But it was, in hindsight, it was absolute gold and it made a big difference to us. So thank you, John. And so, yeah, so we were pulled out and then we were just despairing. And he was despairing more than me. God is good. And it's just been, actually I do want to thank you for this mic, because it is a privilege to actually sit back and think over your testimony, and I haven't done that in a while. And to sit back and think that all he has led us through and the place he has brought us to and the people that he has blessed us with along the way, sometimes you take it for granted. You don't see things that sometimes happen slowly, that sometimes happen over a period of decades or years. You know, especially in this culture that we're in, we like the spectacular, we like the momentary, we like the Damascus Road, the bang. We like it to happen then, but sometimes we don't notice the little things he does, the little acts of faithfulness along the way that are constantly shaping us, which are constantly guiding us, and we forget to trust in that sometimes too. And we got to a place where we kind of forgot to trust in that, but he sorted it out, and the minute we lay it down, and this is the thing with God, you know, if you are faithful to lay something down, if you bring something into your world and he says, you know, let it go, this has become an idol for you. You know, don't hesitate, do it. Life is so much less painful when you just let things go. But that's what he did. He brought us to a place of letting it go. We'd literally laid it down for mere moments. I think it was all of 3 days. And then Hayden came back and said, here you go. And here we are finding ourselves now. He said, would you like to take this as a church plant? Adam went, yes. I went, bit of a deer in the headlights, and went, oh gosh, that means the buck stops here. All these years, we've had all these other people, you know, behind us. But that means the buck's going to stop here. But it has been an amazing, amazing journey just in the last 9 months, the people that God has brought along. And so I look back over that 15 years, but even longer. God has always had his hand in my life somehow. Even in the dark times, he was always there. Always there guiding me. And the beautiful thing is that I cannot look back on any part of my life and go, that part was wasted. And that is the power of God. Can take anything, the most darkest thing that you have, and he can take it and he can turn it for good and he can use it for his glory. And so it doesn't matter how deep the hole that you find yourself or how dark the place, there isn't a thing. And actually what he does is he actually makes you grateful that you went through that stuff in the first place. I don't resent the years of darkness and hardness. I actually am so grateful for it now because it glorifies him even more. And so he has just been absolutely amazing. And just the very fact that, you know, I'm married to this man and we have a functional relationship. Beyond functional, we have a... I mean, that makes it sound so boring, doesn't it? But we have this amazing relationship when, gosh, 20 years ago when we first met. Man, we are getting on, aren't we? We had all the marks of just being an utter train wreck. And yet, when you walk with him over time, day by day, year by year, his glory just becomes evident in your life. And he's just so... The word for my testimony would be faithful. He is so incredibly faithful. He is faithful with your life. He is faithful with the dreams that he gives you. It just often takes a lot longer than we would like it to. But so that is really the guts of my testimony. But would you mind if I prayed? Is that fine? Father God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, you are a God who indeed uses all things for the good. Lord, for your glory. For those who have been called according to your purpose. Lord, you are a good God. You are a good God. And I just pray that that revelation would be born afresh in each one of us here today. Despite what we see going on around us, despite what our circumstances may try to dictate to us, despite the lies the enemy may try to tell us. You are a good God, and we can stake our lives on that. We can claim that, Lord. In the darkest of places, you are good and you are faithful and you are kind. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, for your goodness, Lord, to be poured out into the lives of these people. Lord, especially those whose world may be a bit grey at the moment. May your glory, may your goodness, may your faithfulness shine forth. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for this city. It's hard to not stand in this church, in this middle of the city, and just think of how desperately this city needs you, how desperately the people of this city need to know your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that from this place out would flow your mercy and your grace, Father, into a world that is dark and hurting, into a people, Father, who just have that gaping void, Lord, that only your presence can fill, only your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Father, that the gospel would be proclaimed over this city. And as your word is proclaimed, as the gospel is proclaimed, as the name of Jesus is lifted high, that all men would be drawn unto you, Father. Lord, I pray that through these doors would flood, Father, lost and hurting people, Lord, who are just brought to their knees before you, people who are looking for the answer, Lord. And you are that answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.